Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. You know, a lot of times we're guilty of reading over Scripture and not taking to heart what it actually says. Sometimes our days are so hectic, we want to try to cram in at least a little bit of reading God's Word. We don't take the opportunity, the time to really meditate and think about its truths. Meditation is in many ways a lost virtue in this day and age of believers. A lot has to do with our busy and hectic schedules. But we need to, as believers, stop and slow down when we study the Word of God. We need to pray over it. We need to ask God to humble ourselves before it. And the passage that we're studying now, and we have been the last few weeks, is one that many times I'm sure we're guilty of quickly reading over and not paying attention to what it's really saying. But let's take the time out this morning for a few minutes, and let's pray the Lord would open up its truths to our hearts once again. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" What gives these verses great significance is our Lord declaring that this is the first and great commandment. The lawyer wanted to tempt and entrap him, and I don't think he realized what kind of answer he was going to get. But the significance of this truth here that our Lord is declaring is seen in his words that this is the first in importance and in excellence and the great commandment. This is what all the commandments are intended to impart. This is the sum or essence of all the laws of God. And there were over 600 in the Old Testament. This should immediately attract our attention as believers, because our Lord puts great emphasis on this commandment and the second, which is like unto it. And we should, as believers, take a moment to think. If we are in any fashion seeking to submit and obey this commandment, it's amazing that God commands love, isn't it? Think about it. We, amongst ourselves, we say, you can't command somebody to love you, and we can't. We're finite creatures. Yet the sovereign God and Creator commands it of all men. You are to love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. That is a commandment from the sovereign Creator. To disobey that commandment means death. You know that? Eternal death. That's what it means. If you cannot obey this first and great commandment, it means eternal death. For Paul himself said, "Let everyone that loveth not Christ be anathema, maranatha," which is cursed. So God has the right as a sovereign Creator to command love. This answer was not what the lawyer was expecting. It humbled the greatest of his accusers. Yet for Christ to quickly add the second commandment, and he does, he wastes no time. He said, and the second, he doesn't let them to think too long on just the one. He goes, wait a minute, there's something else that goes on to this first and great. There's something just as equivalent, just as excellent as the first one, though the first one is more excellent. The second is like unto it. Once he added that second commandment, he would forever put those same accusers to a deathly silence. Because in verse 46, from that day forth, no man asked him any more questions. And if you'll think about that just for a minute, like I said, if we'd stop and think about Scripture, there's a reason why the Holy Spirit put that in there. It's not because they were humbled and convicted. It's because they couldn't find any more questions to answer. And they were rebellious and sinful. Because the next act they perform, which is here in a few chapters, is they crucify Christ. It's one thing when God is silent. That's a terrible thing. Ask David in Psalm. But when man stops seeking God, he signed his own destiny. There's none that seeketh after God. That's what Romans 3 says. And you know, when they're crucifying Christ, they broke both of these commandments. You know that? They didn't love God because He was God, and He tried to tell them. Remember Sunday school in John? He over and over tells them, I am God. I'm equal with the Father. I am God-man. And they didn't believe it. They broke both these commandments a few chapters later when they crucified Him, because they didn't love God, and they certainly didn't love their neighbor as themselves, because Christ was flesh amongst them. They broke both these commandments. Our Lord wouldn't stop with just the first and great. He adds the second commandment. I want you again to take time this morning before we fellowship with one another to consider what He's saying. Look at this second commandment. I want you to see this for a few moments. I pray God give me the grace to preach it as I should. He said, verse 39, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. First, he says you love God supremely, but the second is like unto it, you love your neighbor as yourself. This proves that God, the sovereign creator, is concerned about our relationship toward one another as mankind. Think about that. Listen to it. He's concerned about mankind's relationship with his neighbor. Not only should you love me supremely, but you should love your neighbor as yourself. Like the first, it's not restricted merely to believers. Even though, as we'll see in a few minutes, a non-believer could never fulfill any of these commandments, it's still not restricted to believers only, but it's a divine and sovereign commandment upon all men. God commands, like He says, I command all men to love me supremely. I also command all men to love your neighbor. He who maketh his sun to rise on the evil, listen to me, and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust, would have all men love their neighbor as themselves. It's a divine commandment upon all men. Love your neighbor as yourself. That passage is taken from the Sermon on the Mount when he says, if you love only those that love you in return, what better are you than the publicans? And in the end of that chapter, he says, be ye perfect as your Father is perfect in heaven. Not perfect and sinless, but perfect in being adult, mature, full-coming. Learn to love your neighbor. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but we as Christians should master this. You know that? If God manifested His love towards us while we were yet sinners, should we not show that same love towards all mankind? If we know something of the love of Christ for us while we were yet sinners, should we not show that same love to mankind? Undeserving as they and we were, should we not manifest that same love? Christians should be reaching out to lost men and women with love and respect, trying to reach them for Christ, but also trying to be helpful, hospitable, and benevolent. One of the greatest actions a Christian can do is being kind to others, helping others. Let me ask you a question as a Christian, if you profess to be a Christian. Do you like helping others? Is that what motivates you? Is that what really drives you as a Christian? You like helping others? Somebody asked me one time in the nursing home, if you had the choice, what job would you like outside of being a pastor? First of all, I can't figure or even think of being anything else but a preacher. Full-time is my heart's desire, but God knows what He's doing. I said, but if I couldn't do that, what I'm doing now in the nursing home is the next best thing. I like working with people that need help. It's satisfying. I worked 14 years building Audi cars on the assembly line. I didn't get no satisfaction out of that. But I get satisfaction out of helping people who are in need, as I'm sure all of you are as Christians. That's what really drives us. That's what really gives us energy and motivation, is to be able to help other people. If you're not out there actively trying to help other people, if you're not enjoying helping other people that are in need, even going out of your way, even making sacrifices to do so, you've got to ask yourself the question whether you really are following the spirit of this law, this commandment. That is what gives Christians life, is helping others. One of the greatest times in my ministry, as well as in my Christian life, was the 14 years we spent on the streets in Germany, Heilbronn, Germany, feeding the poor and the drunks. It was great satisfaction. Heartbreaking, yes, but great satisfaction. Something that I've kind of slacked off in since coming to America, and I'm embarrassed and humbled to say that, but it's true. You love your neighbor as yourself. Mankind has a moral duty and a responsibility and a divine command to love his neighbor as himself, for we are all made in the image of God. You know that? That's the main reason God says everyone should love each other as himself, because you're made in the image of God. Respect that and love them for that. The second is like unto it. It's the evidence or the proof that the first and great commandment is lacking or disobeyed amongst men today. You know why we know God? People are not loving God with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul? Because they can't perform the second. Look at this evil generation we're in. Hatefulness, selfishness. Men are lovers of themselves. They seek things for their own, not others. They don't follow 1 Corinthians 13, what charity is. It seeketh not its own. It's not puffeth up. You can tell that men are not loving God supremely because they can't love their neighbor. I don't think I've ever seen a generation or heard of a generation that is so selfish and self-loving than this generation. When you think back in the older days, and we're all, most of us here are old enough to think of older days, it seemed like men and women were more respectable to one another than today. The ethics are gone. The morality is gone. People don't respect one another anymore. And you look in the media, you look and see what's going on in the world, all the hatred that's going on, and the envy, and the selfishness that's going on. You can tell people don't love God supremely because they can't fulfill the love spirit of the second commandment. They can't love their neighbor as themselves. Love thy neighbor as thyself, is what the Lord said. You know, the true measure and quality of our love to our neighbor is greatly dependent upon the measure and love we possess for God. You want to see how much somebody loves God? See what they sacrifice for their neighbor. That'll tell you how much they love God. You know why? You know how God's love is manifested? On the cross of Calvary. You could see the love of God manifested in Him sacrificing His own Son. People today, when they speak of love to God, it's superficial. There's no depth to it. And it's a love, like we said last week, it's a love that man chooses to set the limits to. You love God supremely, then you'll love your neighbor as yourself. It'll be manifested in how much we do for our neighbor. The more we love God supremely, the more we manifest our love to our neighbor. It's just that simple. And Christ says, this is the measure how you need to love another person, your neighbor. This is the measure. Not just love them, this is how you must love them. Just like He said with God, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul. He sets the measurements. He sets the standards. And the second's the same way. Love your neighbor. How am I to love my neighbor? As thyself. You know, there's an evil self-love. One that is driven and motivated by one's own selfishness and lust. That's an evil self-love. That's seen around the world. But loving someone biblically as thyself is a good and righteous self-love that is driven and motivated to seek others' happiness and well-being above their own. Other people's happiness and well-being are more important than my own. I'm willing to sacrifice for somebody else to be happy and well-off. You know, the Bible says Paul told the church of Thessalonica, I believe, that they were addicted to good works. Addicted. I used to do drugs before I got saved. I know a little bit about addiction. I worked with addicts in Germany all the time. I didn't know that, but you know that, my daughter's telling me, you know that tall brown building in Brownwood? The real tall one? It's an old hotel? That's empty now. I didn't know that. Nothing but homeless people and drug addicts live there. I didn't know that. We used to visit a place like that, and it was like six stories, and all the windows and doors were broken out. I mean, you go in there, and there's human waste, and there's trash, and there's food. It stinks terrible, but that's where the drug addicts were. That's where we went in. We'd go in, and we'd hold Bible studies. We'd pray with them, and we'd witness to them about Christ. And we'd do all those things to try to help them out. And it was really, it was reviving for the church. You get addicted to that. Most churches today have no idea what it is to help somebody. If somebody walked in the average church that had not bathed in 6 months, had hepatitis C, their eyes were yellow and their skin were yellow, and they came and sat down on the pew, most of them would move to the other side of the church. Christians need to get addicted to helping their neighbor. This is what God's talking about when He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. But like I said, although all mankind is commanded to obey this law, it is only the true believers, listen to me, who are really made capable of fulfilling the spirit of this divine commandment. Only true believers can fulfill this second like unto it, because they're the only ones that can love God supremely because they've been saved. So we should actually be the masters of this. God has given us, He's spread abroad in our hearts, Romans 5:5, the love of God. He's given us such a wonderful salvation. He's revealed to us what mercy and what grace is, what unmerited favor is. And now He says, go out and show it unto mankind, love them as yourself. And so the Christian takes that message of kindness and love and mercy and grace. He takes it out to the world and he shows the lost. His goal is not merely to feed the body, but to see the soul saved. Look at Matthew chapter 19. I want you to see an example of this. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Listen to this. Only the believer can fulfill this, the spirit of this law. Look at Matthew chapter 19. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. And behold, Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said to him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said unto him, why callest thou me good? Now watch this. There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Okay, we're back to the first and great. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Can any of you tell which laws are missing? The first four that refer to God. He's just giving him Remember in your bulletin, I've got the Ten Commandments. The last six refer to a relationship with man. You don't see any of the first four here. You know why? The Lord knows the good and good. Now, He might be able to fulfill to some extent the latter. But watch. I want you to watch this. Maybe you haven't seen this before. Now watch this. Honor thy mother and thy father, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 19, watch this. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. There's the second, like unto the first, love thy neighbor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. There's the first. You see, the two commandments here. Go and sell all that you got and give to the poor. That's the second commandment, love thy neighbor, and come follow me. That's the first. I'm God. In breaking the second, you go to the first. You follow me? You see the example here? The Lord said, you can't keep any of them. You claim that you keep certain commandments, and in reality you don't. Because you're not willing to sell everything you got and love your neighbor as yourself and give him. You love yourself too much. What happens? He said that he went away. He was sorrowful and went away. He didn't want to do that. That's the example. Mankind can fulfill to a certain extent some of the moral law. I mean, mankind can be nice to one another. They can be kind to one another. I seen people the other day in Bangs, which I really admired. They're sitting outside the Dollar General. They got a table set up, and it's a rehabilitation center trying to help drug addicts. And I like that, and I support that kind of stuff. And we need more of that in the world. I do. But they can't fulfill this first and second commandment. And our Lord shows that here. Do the commandments. Here they are. Well, I've done them from my youth. Have you really done them from your youth? You really know the heart, the spirit of those commandments? You said, you've done all those things? Love your neighbor as yourself? Yeah, sure. Well, then sell all that you got and give it to your neighbor. Oh, I can't do that. See there, then you haven't done it. You haven't done it. Mankind can be appeasing and pleasing to other men and the sight of men. But that's not the goal. The goal is to be pleasing to God. Remember the Pharisees? The Lord's judged them and criticized them. They said, well, you're well accepted of men, but not of God. What do you think? You call them whited sepulchers. See, men see you, and outside you look like a whited sepulcher. Oh man, you're just pure, you're good, you're holy, you're godly. He said, but inward you're nothing but ravening wolves, dead men's mind. The Christian is the only one made capable by the love of God shed abroad in his hearts to fulfill the spirit of the second commandment. Of this second commandment that's like unto the first. And beloved, we should be striving to do more of that second. It is so easy. Haven't we heard that before? And I'll quickly get through this. Haven't we heard that before? It's easy to say, I love somebody. And you got to admit, sometimes us Americans are really superficial with our love. You know that? We give out hugs. We say we love somebody. But then that's completely opposite what the truth is. Sometimes we deceive ourselves and we deceive others by being hypocritical with what our emotions, claiming that as long as I do that, I'm being charitable. No, you're not. You're lying. Love one another in the truth. This is why you have so many schisms in churches, because Christians have problems with one another. They never confront the problems, and so they get so big, their solution is, well, I'll just avoid the problem. Since when has that ever helped anybody? You don't avoid problems. You face them front on. And you deal with them in a biblical manner. But that's too humbling. That's the whole point of it. Even husbands and wives. Ephesians 6. When it talks about the husband loving the wife as Christ loved the church. He said, humble yourself before one another. There's humility involved in a relationship. You have to humble yourself before one another. Loving our neighbor as ourselves is not always an easy task. It requires a lot of self-sacrifice. Putting others before myself. Putting their well-being above my own. But we get too selfish. And we seek our own. Instead of saying, this isn't right. This isn't working out. Our relationship is not what it should be before God. God knows I shouldn't be having these thoughts towards my brother or sister like this. But I'm going to go ahead and keep them because that's charity. That's not charity.
love one another in the truth. Be honest. Be sincere. That's why a lot of relationships don't work today. People aren't honest. A lost man like the rich young ruler, they can obey this divine commandment to a certain extent outwardly, yet because he knows nothing of the first and great commandment, his acts of kindness are limited to morally good deeds, accepting and pleasing to men, but not unto God. Let me close with two verses. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Love Colossians. Read the whole chapter 3 a couple times this last week. It's a wonderful chapter. Colossians chapter 3 in verse... go ahead. Verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, this is Christians, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, maturity, wholeness. Put on charity. Look at Romans chapter 13:10. Romans 13:10. Look at what he says here, Paul. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love worketh no ill. It will not do ill, evil, bad to his neighbor. Why? Therefore, love is the what? Fulfilling of the law. What is the great commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Oh, and the second is like unto it. The Lord didn't give you time to wait. Seconds like unto it. You love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the prophets, all the laws, the prophets. That's how important they are. That's how significant they are. Beloved, let me tell you something. The life of the church, to have life in the church, we need to first of all have Christ, supreme love for God, yes. What follows that is the second. We need to cultivate and we need to harvest. We need to really work on, strive to love our neighbors ourselves. This church should be a beacon for this community and this world, how we love our neighbors ourselves. When we do that, you watch how God blesses us with spiritual joy and contentment. I'm telling you, and you all know what I'm talking about, I'm sure. I believe the sincerity of all, and I know a lot of you, we've talked, we've been around for years, we've all felt that experience. When you help somebody in need, it gives you a great feeling of satisfaction and happiness, because you've been able to do somebody else good. It's not so much getting the attention for it. I mean, if that's what we're all after, then we've done it for the wrong reasons. I've had people get upset maybe because they haven't been recognized in church. And then I got to ask them, why did you do it? To be recognized amongst men or before God? Well, of course they're going to say before God. Then why are you so upset? As long as God sees it, isn't that what you want? You don't really want to be. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Yeah. You do something good, you do it unto the Lord. And let Him bless you with spiritual blessing and happiness and contentment. Let us as Birkett Baptist Church work on this, helping our neighbor. There's a lot of people need help out there. Like I said, I didn't know this building here was full of homeless and drug addicts. I really didn't until my daughter told me yesterday. I mean, there's a lot of homeless people in Brownwood, in Coleman. There's a lot of people in need. A lot of people in need. We shouldn't be content with just giving money to somebody and having them go do the work. We're missing out on blessing. Let's get our hands dirty. Amen? Let's get in the middle of it. Let's pray and ask God what we can do. Amen? To be part of it. Ain't nothing like helping somebody who's in need. It's really not. There's a fulfillment and blessing there you can't put into words. God help us to grow in this. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord, challenge. Oh, God, we thank you so much. Lord, help us every time thy word is opened, either in private devotion or in the pulpit.
that, Lord, we would be challenged to go further, to go to higher grounds as we sung, Father. We pray that, Lord, you'd not let us be content and slothful and lazy in our Christianity, but Father, that we'd always constantly be challenged by your word and by your Holy Spirit to go a step further, to keep going, Father, to press forward, Father, in this world of wickedness and sin. I pray that, Lord, we'd be a light of joy and happiness and kindness, Father, that people can see us and look and see not just us but our good works, that they might glorify our Father which is in heaven. Father, you said we're to be the lights of the world. Help us, Lord God, we pray, not to hide it under a bushel, but Lord, to set it on a hill. Lord, inspire us, we pray. Create in us a desire to love our neighbors as ourselves. But Father, let us find that love for our neighbor in our love for God. Let that inspire and motivate us, Father. Lord, we love you and thank you for all things. Bless now this time of fellowship. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. Lord bless you. I look forward to seeing you across the hall on the street. Eating some good food.